The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, ushers, would you help me, please? And I want to pass out something tonight. I want to make some statements, if I may. I am a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, soul-winning, separated Baptist preacher. I was not raised that way. I was raised as a Roman Catholic young man. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. By conviction, not by convenience. I didn't come up on somebody else's, and I'm not trying to belittle this, because I thank God for those that came up independent Baptist from the nursery all the way through first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up. But I didn't come up on somebody else's apron string. I made a choice of who I would be and what I would be. And so it was a choice of why I am an independent Baptist. I do not waver on being an independent Baptist, but I want us to see some things tonight. And so because the message will be a little bit different tonight, we're going to do something. So ushers, if you'll come, we have a gift for you tonight. And we're going to pass out tissue tonight. You can use it to wave. If all of a sudden the preacher steps on your toes and you don't have the ability to say amen, then you can wave, sort of like got me. You ladies, if you want to wave it because you're trying to say amen and you have no other way to do it, then you can wave it tonight. You might want to use it to cry, I'm not sure. But go ahead and pass them out, please. Make sure everybody gets one. And so tonight, by the way, we'll have an old-fashioned camp meeting tonight. And you'll hear some scripture tonight. You might want to give them to the fellas on the platform because they might need double. This is a message. This, by the way, message tonight will help you. It'll help you. I'm going to show you more scripture tonight than probably you've seen on an average Wednesday night message. Now, I promise you, some of you will get your toes stomped on, and some of you will leave here shouting amen, and some of you will say, boy, I tell you what, that was needed, and I needed that, and he just gave me that I needed tonight. But it'd be a little bit different tonight. This is not going to be a Southern Baptist message tonight. This is an independent Baptist message tonight. And so if I were you, I'd sit back and buckle up and make sure that you're ready for it, okay? I'm just giving you warning, that's all. I'm just giving you warning and about what is about to come down your pike. Now, look at it, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 10. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that a cloud filled the house of the Lord. Look at verse 11. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Now, I want you to see what he says right after that, as we read our text verse just a moment ago in verse 13. He says, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Now, here's what he says. He says, a settled place, a settled place. The Bible talks about that there are those that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, why are they tossed to and fro? Can I tell you why? They're not settled. They're not settled. Now, tonight, I'm telling you that you ought to be settled. I do not have my convictions tonight because I heard some man preach it from a pulpit somewhere. I have my convictions tonight because I read them in the Bible. And I don't have my convictions tonight because I read some book somewhere, but I've got my convictions tonight because I read them in the Bible. Now, I want us to understand tonight, what is it that we ought to be settled about? I'm going to give you some statements tonight, and we're going to fly through this thing, but I want you to understand them tonight, if I may, please. And by the way, you can use that thing tonight. I'm telling you, you got a tissue now in your hand. Ladies, if you have a hankering to do so, you can wave that. Now, make sure it's clean when you wave it. But you can wave that. Men, if you don't have the ability, the gumption, to shout amen tonight, then I'd wave that thing if I were you, and that'll be okay. We'll understand, all right. But then tonight you might not want to wave it. You could wave it, saying I surrender. You could. You sure could. But now let's talk about it tonight. There needs to be some things settled. I want to preach tonight on God said it. That settles it. God said it. That settles it. Now, by the way, it doesn't matter your opinion tonight. Your opinion's doesn't matter much to God tonight. But I want us to understand that when God says something, that it ought to be settled. Who is on the Lord's side? We ought to settle some things. Statement number one, we ought to settle some things when it comes to salvation. By the way, doesn't matter how you feel tonight, if God said it, it settles it. It doesn't matter what you do tonight, if God said it, then it settles it. Doesn't matter what you think tonight, if God said it, it settles it. Doesn't matter what the devil says tonight, if God said it, it settles it. Doesn't matter what the Pope says tonight, if God says it, it settles it. Doesn't matter what the Catholic Church says tonight, if God said it, it settles it. Doesn't matter what the Pentecostals say tonight, God said it, it settles it. And you say, well, wait a minute, you're picking on everybody. Oh, I'm coming to Baptist here real soon. And it doesn't matter what Church of Christ says. Doesn't matter what Church of God says. The Nazarenes say, the Lutherans say, the Plymouth Brethren say, the Methodists say, the Presbyterians say, the Calvinists say, the Assembly of God says, the non-denominational says, the Jehovah Witness says, the Mormon says, the Muslims say, the Hare Krishna says. Doesn't matter tonight what the Buddhists say, or the Benny Hinn say, or the NIV, the RSV, or the MICKEYMOUS. It doesn't matter what the Baptist says. By the way, it doesn't matter what the preacher says either. You know, we've got a lot of people that, and by the way, let me reemphasize it. I said, it doesn't matter what the Baptists say. You're sitting out there tonight, you said, well, you shouldn't call other churches' name. Let me emphasize tonight, I'm Baptist, but it doesn't matter what the Baptists say. If God says it, it ought to be settled. Why? Because thus saith the word of God. I think there's going to be people that's going to wake up in hell, and they're going to think because they grew up in a Baptist church that that's all it took. It does not take a religion to get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 51 people walk the aisle receiving Christ today as Savior. Now, wait a minute. They didn't do that because we're Baptists. They did that because they heard the truth of God. All right? And the truth of God is you cannot get to heaven by works. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It says, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, you listen to me. Religion doesn't take you to heaven. The sacraments doesn't take you to heaven. The Lord's Supper doesn't take you to heaven. Confirmation doesn't take you to heaven. Speaking in tongues doesn't take you to heaven. Being slain in the Spirit doesn't take you to heaven. Having anointing doesn't take you to heaven. Living a good life doesn't take you to heaven. Jesus Christ and Him alone takes you to heaven. All right? So we have to settle the matter of salvation. By the way, settle the matter, if you will, please, about that works. You do not get saved by works. And by the way, settle the matter, if you will, about when it comes to salvation, about eternal security. John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, He says, I've given unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen to what it says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans chapter 6, for those of you there are adamant soul winners, know it very well in verse 23. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our. So we understand that it is a gift, and it is an eternal gift that's called eternal salvation, the eternal security of the believer. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, for this is the promise that He had promised us, even eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, this is the record that God have given, it says to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Brother McGowan went with me out soul winning, Mac, just yesterday, and we were walking along the streets, and we were knocking doors, and we came across this young man, age 25, by the name of Jose. Jose was raised to believe that he could get to heaven by works, but in a few short minutes, we were able to take the Bible and show him what the Bible says, and Jose gladly bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. By the way, once you're saved, you are saved forevermore. It's not a matter of holding on. It's not a matter of hanging on. It's not a matter of staying in. It's not a matter of losing it. It's not a matter of falling from grace. It is a matter of understanding that once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, by the way, you can shout about that tonight because you will never burn in hell. You can shout about that tonight because once you're saved, you are saved forever. Preacher, I got a flat tire on the way to church tonight, but you can shout if you're saved. Well, my wife burnt breakfast this morning, but you can shout if you're saved. Well, my mother-in-law is coming for an extended visit. You can shout if you're saved. I'd move out, but you can shout if you're saved. Okay? Once you're saved, you are saved forever. Statement number one. So there's some things that need to be settled. God said it. That settles it. Oh, I don't feel saved. Feeling is not being saved. Being saved, when you start rejoicing and understanding what you have, gives you a good feeling. I'm married tonight. I am married tonight if I feel married or if I don't feel married. Now, thank God I feel married. I thank God I enjoy, and my wife waving that thing. I thank God that I enjoy my marriage. I got a sweet wife. Man, we'll be married 30 years come May. May, not March, May. We'll be married 30 years. Now, wait a minute. Hey, I'm excited. Hey, we're getting older. One day I'll lose my teeth. She'll lose her teeth. We'll gum each other to death. I'll push her in one wheelchair. I'll get out and let her push me a little while. Now, I'm saying this, though. I'm saying that it's not based on a feeling. You know, you can't live your life. Well, today I feel saved. Tomorrow I don't feel saved. No. Once saved, always saved. So statement number one, settle the matter when it comes to salvation. You ready? Statement number two, here we go. Settle the matter of standards. Settle the matter of standards. Now, you don't have to discuss it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to consider it. You don't have to ponder about it. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to wait on it. You don't have to hesitate on it. You don't have to take a deep breath and then breathe slowly. You don't have to make a public poll, do a Bill Clinton thing to see which way everybody else is going. You don't have to argue about it. If God said it, it settles it. Let's take the matter of drinking tonight. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31, the Bible says, look not on the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself all right. So God said, I'm not just against you drinking. He said, I'm against this social drinking too. He said, don't even look on it. You look at a can of beer and say, I wonder if I should. I can tell you, you shouldn't. You look at whiskey and say, I wonder if I should. I can tell you, you shouldn't. You look at that which is wine and you say, but my great-grandmother, she drank wine and she lived to be 92. She would have probably lived to be 96 if she wouldn't have. I'm saying don't look on it. If you got it in your refrigerator, get it out. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying when it comes to being that person tonight that you ought to be, when it comes to standards. Now, by the way, everybody has standards. Everybody has standards. Now, you may have a different standard than somebody else, but can I tell you tonight, if God says it, it settles it. Now, you have a right to agree with God. You have a right to disagree with God. But please understand tonight that God says it, and when God says it, it settles it. Take the matter of rock music. Take the matter of country music. Contemporary Christian rock music, what we call CCM. Take the matter of rap. Now listen to what your Bible says tonight. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You say, well, I tell you what, I just can't help singing it. Yes, you can. Stop. Amen. God says, cease to do evil. That's an abrupt halt. That's an abrupt stop. Then he says, learn to do good. Now, here's what our Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. The word edifying means to build up. It says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God says that our music ought to do something. It ought to build. It ought to build us towards Christ. And it ought to be that which ministers grace. Giving that which we do not deserve. It ought to remind you of the very grace of God. Does your music remind you of the grace of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, the Bible says, let all things be done unto edifying. Does your music edify others to be close to God? Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You listen to rock music, you listen to country music, which is nothing but slowed down rock music. You listen to it and it feeds you. It feeds you to think things. It feeds you. And by the way, parents, listen to me. Get some sense about you and check the music your kids are listening to. Go through their closets. Listen to what's on their iPhones. Listen to what is on their iPads. Help your kid. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Why is it they're bringing their mother shame? Because they're left to themselves. A child should not have to raise themselves. A child should have a loving, caring parent that will rise up and say, no, you're not going to do that. Now I'm saying tonight, here's what it says. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. It says, to fulfill the lust thereof. Wow. So you mean some of the music that our kids listen to could cause them to fall into lust? Now, let me ask you a question. Why is it that if there is a choice, stay with me, I'm curious. Why is it if there is a choice between that which is good, wholesome, right, righteous, and that which is bad, worldly, evil, dark, why would you choose this over that? Now, if you are choosing this over that, does that not identify truly who you are? Therefore, if I was choosing this over that, I wouldn't brag about it. Because all you're doing is telling everybody else, let me tell you how unspiritual I really am. That's all you're doing. It's like putting a sign on the back of your back saying, kick me. Amen. Hello? Now, by the way, parent, I would not let my kids stay the night at somebody's house without knowing who the person is and is all about. I wouldn't do that. You say, but you know, preacher, you just don't understand. I do understand this. I do understand that anybody can backslide in a split second. But I also understand that a person that backslides, especially in a church that preaches the truth, you know what is right. You know what direction to go. It has been preached to you. You have come to youth revivals. You have come to conferences. You have a preacher that loves you enough to tell you the truth and shoot it straight. And just as much as you can backslide, you can make a choice to be right with God, holy with God, do what is right, and God can use you again. I'm saying this, I'm saying the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22, where Paul is talking to men, not talking to children, not talking to teenagers now. He's talking to men. Here's what he says. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that are called, it says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he says, here's what you do. He said, flee youthful. Now he's talking to men. Here's what he's saying. He's talking to men. He's saying, flee youthful. Now why is he telling men to flee youthful lust? I'm going to tell you why. Because as men, you have the same temptations and desire to follow those things that you did as a youth. You know, as a teenager, you stay with me, and you know it's true. All of a sudden, a boy gets a car. Mama is not always in your car. Teenager gets a room, and mom and dad are not always in your room. And if you're not careful, you can start hiding stuff and feeding your flesh and hiding. You know, technology today is one of the most dangerous things that's out there. Now, look, I'm for technology being used the right way. We use it here at the church. Technology can certainly advance the cause of Christ, be used in the right manner as a tool to be able to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. But I think some of our parents, if we're not careful, we're a little bit too brain dead. Because things can be hidden on a computer that you know nothing about. These teenagers are not dummies. They know exactly how to visit certain sites. They know exactly how to hide things in places that is difficult for you as a parent and of the old school not to know how to get into. That's why we have to make the appeal to teenagers, live right, live holy, do what is right. And if you shut off the Holy Ghost of God and you shut off godly preaching, then there is not much hope for you. But I'm telling you that honest teenager will be honest with their parents. But we got parents. You know that, man, you listen to country and western in your home and then you get mad at your teenager for listening to rock and roll. What's the difference? What is the difference? You watch a movie in your home and it's got blood and guts everywhere and people being beheaded. Bullets shattering through men's bodies. And then you get mad at your teenager when they go out and they get a video game that does the same. What is the difference? Why can't we have holiness through and through? Why can't we have an old-fashioned revival where daddy gets right and mama gets right? And why can't we have an old-fashioned revival where people come and people decide, I will do right by God? Saying tonight, you listen to me, God said it, that should settle it. What about the matter of divorce? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, the Bible says, wherefore, it says, are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, by the way, you can't change your past. But if you are married today, you can stay married. You say, well, I got divorced and now I'm married. Well, then you make the best of everything that you've got right now. You stay married. Don't walk out on them. Don't leave them. Well, you know, we're not getting along. You say that now, but in a few hours you'll get along. Well, we're just not getting along. You say that now, but next week will be better. Well, you know, preacher, we're fussing all the time. But next week could be better. What about adultery, fornication? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. Says, and every sin that a man doeth, says, is without the belly. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I tell young people, when you commit fornication, you've not just committed fornication against your body, against the person that you've committed it with, but you've also committed fornication, if you would please, a sin against your parents, against your God, and against your church. And here's what we do. We just sweep it under the carpet. Well, if it was so wrong, then why don't you get up and apologize to those that was involved? That means there needs to be an apology to the person that you did that with and those that was involved that know about that. See, I'm still under the impression that if a person truly gets right with God, they want others to know I'm right with God. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for man not to touch a woman. By the way, it can be done. Mrs. Wells and I dated for two and a half years, right? It's two and a half years. We dated for 2.5 years. Now, you can't tell me I didn't want to kiss her. Woo! Now, she's pretty today, but she's pretty back then, too. You like how I worded that, Brother Al? I mean, come on, Brother Nash. When she get next to me and I look at her, my heart go pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Hello. You can't tell me I didn't want to kiss her, but she didn't belong to me. She belonged to her daddy. You can't tell me I did not want to hold her hand, but her hand did not belong to me yet, not yet been given to me. It still belonged to her daddy. So for 2.5 years while we dated, did I ever kiss you? Did you want to kiss? Never mind. Did I ever hold your hand? Did I ever hold your hand? Now, the reason I did that was not so I could be holier than thou. But normally, once you start down a road, you'll complete the trip. It would be better not to complete the trip, and the way not to complete the trip is don't start down the road. No girl in here has the power to be able to stand and say, "Stop it!" Most of you don't. Everybody likes to be loved. But you've got to put up some barricades. And by the way, you can't feed junk inside of your young person's mind and it not take seed and start to grow. You can't do it. You let them watch these dirty romance movies. And you're putting stuff inside their head. They can't. You realize your mouth is the same way? You know, when food comes to your mouth, you automatically open. Your mouth does not have a brain. Do you realize if given the right situation, given the right type of environment, given the right type of temptation, when put in that place that your young person does not have the ability within themselves to overcome? That's why there needs to be churches like this. You say, "But preacher, if you preach it like this, not everybody will stay." I know that. There's people that don't want this. There's people that don't want this type of preaching. There's people that could care less about their kids. But somebody's got to say it, and somebody's got to preach it, and somebody's got to stand up and cry aloud and say, "Just too right." Now, I'm saying this tonight. When it comes to that which is fornication, the Bible says marriage is honorable to all, but the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. What about homosexuality? We are living in a nation that I believe if we keep going the way that we're going, that if God doesn't do something drastic, he's going to have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's what your Bible says. Now, God wrote the Bible. How many believe that? Raise your hand. You believe that? Here's what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." God created male and female to be together, not male and male. Not female and female. You have to understand that. So I've never heard that said before. Let me repeat it then. God created male and female to come together. He did not create male and male, female and female. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, the Bible says, "If a man will lie with mankind," that's man with man, you listen to it. He says, "as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination." Now, by the way, the Bible says this. This is Old Testament. The Bible says, "They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." Now, in the Old Testament days, when that took place, they stoned them. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, into ashes. That's what God did. The Bible says an example to those that after should live ungodly. So God says that there is the destruction of the flesh that for people that follow that way. By the way, what about abortion? What about abortion? Here's what the Bible says. I love Jeremiah, don't you? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I wonder how many doctors have been killed that could have delivered people from a certain disease. I wonder. I wonder how many inventions could have been made that has now been halted because somebody killed a little baby. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 5, the Bible says, and now saith the Lord that formed me, it says, from the womb to be his servant. God had a plan for every little baby. Every little baby that has been aborted, God had a plan for them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, these six things does the Lord hate, even seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Innocent blood. That baby ought to have a right to vote, just like the mother has a right to vote. The woman stands on the side of the corner and says, but I ought to have a right. I would stand on the opposite side of the corner and say, so should the baby. What about wrong dress and appearance? By the way, you used to hear this preached. Don't get mad at me yet. Not just yet. You realize the Bible has not changed, but society has. Do you realize that? So what I'm about to read to you, understand it was written before our society became its present lifestyle. Understand that, please. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22, you said, I know you're going to pull that one. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth. That means to make a step towards. Woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And all the men said, amen. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Well, you get mad if a man walked in here in a dress. You get upset. But God's putting it out there, and he's a pretty even player on this, isn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Well, you know, I think my little baby, his hair is just so precious, I don't want to cut it. Cut it. It's a shame. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. The word apparel comes from a Greek word, kachistoe, which means long, flowing, or veiling garment. It says, with shamefacedness and sobriety. It says, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. So God says that the woman ought to wear that which is a veiling garment. A veiling garment. Matter of fact, God even tells us how long it ought to be. You say, God sounds kind of narrow-minded. No, I think we're too wide-minded sometimes. The Bible says over in the book of Isaiah, you read it yourself and see it. Book of Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1, the Bible says that his desire for daughters are to be tender and delicate. I don't want my girl to grow up to be a boxer. I don't want her all of a sudden when honey comes home. She says, honey, I'm glad you're home. Let's wrestle. I've got you down. 1, 2, 3. You're done. I want her to be tender. I want her to be delicate. I'd rather her be more feminine than masculine. Now listen to your Bible. In Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1, it says, be tender and delicate. Verses 2 and 3 gives a description of what nakedness is. The Bible says when a woman reveals her thigh, she reveals her nakedness. So when you reveal your thigh, what you're doing is you're showing off your own nakedness. And by the way, that will make a man think things he ought not think. You girls that keep getting these short dresses, and they go up and they go up and they go up, and you sit down and you reveal the thigh. What's the thigh? The thigh connects to the top of the knee and it extends upward. You get these short dresses on and you sit down and it jacks it up. Now a guy comes by and he sees that and he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you doing that? If you're not for sale, take the for sale sign down. If you're not trying to give yourself away, if you're happily married, then don't appeal to others. We tell our girls, we say, now look, you get that thing about 3 inches below the knee and you're about safe. When sitting, standing, running, you're about safe. However, we say if you're going to sing on a platform, you're going to get out there and play volleyball, get that thing down to about mid-calf, and then you're extra safe and you're okay. Hello? Why do we want to get so close? I don't understand it. Why do we want to live borderline? Why do we want to do that? Why do you want to get so close that you may fall, and if you do fall, you're going to land on the wrong side of the track? Why don't you decide to be so far above reproach that if you do fall, at least you'll land on the right side? I don't understand it. I'd rather for a girl to be too modest and not look pretty. Don't get me wrong. Than to be pretty and not look modest. You can always fix up an old barn in several different ways. But I think sometimes you go to the extreme. The Bible talks about how everything ought to be done in moderation. If it's not done in moderation, you have any certain part of you that is not done with the flow of the rest of you that draws attention that is not called moderation. I'm all for earrings, not on men. But I'm all for earrings. The girl wears an earring, and it's so long she can wrap it around her neck 5 times. I think that's just not moderation. I'm all for necklaces, but if you're wearing 45 and you got to walk bent over all the time, I don't think that that is moderation. I'm all for heels, but if you're wearing them so high that now you have to go out and buy a different wardrobe just to keep up, I just don't think that that is moderation. I'm all for makeup, but when you put it on, we can't see who you really are. Then it's too much. I'm all for married women wearing lipstick. That's fine. If your husband wants you to do that, that's fine. But when you put it so thick on there that when he goes to kiss you, it takes him 5 years to unstick. That's just a little bit too much. Now, I'm saying tonight this. I'm saying that you be careful. Somebody says, well, preacher, your standards are just too high. I'd rather be too high, maybe even a little out of balance, than to be too low and completely out of balance. I'd rather you live more godly than less. Are you listening to me? I like for every girl in here to get a good godly boy. But if you're dressing in such a way that's drawing attention to somebody that's ungodly, then it ought to give you a hint. Hello. Now I'm saying tonight, be careful. What about pornography? What about internet? What about movies? Proverbs chapter. By the way, if you're enjoying this tonight, say amen. If you're not, wave your hanky. Philippians chapter 4. I'm celebrating 4 years. Say, I tell you what, we had him for 4 years. That's enough. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Be careful about the movies you watch. Now, I'm talking about holiness tonight. You say, preacher, but that's just too holy. You decide how close you will get to God. But may I tell you, God is holy. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Bible says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. Psalm 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, I was set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. In Job 31 verse 1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Then should I not think upon the maiden. So you understand that you have to decide how far you will go in your personal holiness. Nobody knows what you watch. Nobody knows the screens that come up on your computer, your iPad, your phone. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that wants you to be holy. And by the way, there's a Holy Ghost tonight inside of you. You're saved. That Holy Ghost is jumping up and down and clapping his hands together and clicking his heels saying, that's right, preacher! That's that Holy Ghost. Now listen to it. What about this tonight? And I'm almost done. I said our salvation, our standards. I had several more points under there. I'm going to skip them. Salvation, standards, service. Used to be people would come back to church on Sunday nights. Now we got churches all over Dallas that are counseling their services on Sunday night. They don't have preaching anymore. It might be because some of the preachers can't come up with enough sermons to be able to dish it out. I don't know. But it used to be people would come to church on Sunday night. Used to be people would come to church on Wednesday night. Used to be that church was the main thing. Might it be tonight that it's not the main thing because it's not the main thing in our life? What about tithing tonight? The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Nabokuh the third, when he was here, he came by my office one day and he said, preacher, I'm doing something that's absolutely amazing and God is blessing me for it. Now, it's something that I had practiced for many years. But when he told me, I rejoiced with him. He said, I don't tithe on just the monies that come my way, but I tithe on gifts. Somebody gives me a suit, I evaluate how much the suit is, and then I'll tithe off of the suit. Because it's a whole lot cheaper to be able to pay God $25 than to go out and buy a suit on my own for $250. Now here's what the Bible says about that. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. I think if you're going to be honest with God and you want God to fill your barns, which that next verse talks about, he says, I'll fill your barns. By the way, that's the only time God in the Bible says, I will fill your barns. The only time. When you start tithing off of your substance and not just off of the money that you bring home. God, the only time in the Bible, where God says, if you do that, I'll fill your barns. Only time in the Bible. Now, wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Psalms 96 and verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You know it well. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Wherein, ye say, have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? He says, you're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much. Or it says that ye shall not have room to receive it. You're not going to have room enough to receive it when we do right by him financially. And only God blesses you financially, by the way. How about serving him? The Lord says here, and I'm almost done. Psalm 100 and verse 2. If you'll shout amen, I'll get done quicker. Psalm 100 and verse 2, that's good for the boys to shout. Let's hear some men. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Here's what it says. Serve the Lord with gladness. It says, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 84 and verse 10, the Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David is saying that. What about your Bible reading and prayer? I'm almost done. The Bible says to give attendance to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. What does it say about studying the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it say about church attendance? David said this in Psalm 27 and verse 4. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 84 and verse 4, the Bible says, blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92 and verse 13, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. What about soul winning? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, and he saith unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What about helping others? Galatians chapter, and I'm done. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, here's what it says. The Bible says, as they therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Hebrews chapter 13, last verse I'll read you. In verse 16, the Bible says, do good unto them that communicate, forget it not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. So what do we do with all that tonight? If God said it, it settles it. If God said it, that settles it. Well, preacher, let me tell you my opinion. We all have them, don't we? If you ask 100 men opinions, they'll give you 100 opinions. There has to come a time when we go back to the old book. There has to come a time when we look at God's word and we say, this is what God says. There has to come a time. We go back and say, it doesn't matter what my opinion is, because if God says it, that settles it. By the way, we all have to make decisions. I remember the first time I ever read that, Brother Nash, in the Bible, where it says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And I had long hair. I had to make a choice. Do I get my hair cut? Doth not even nature itself teach you that a man had long hair is a shame? Nature. I got thinking about that. Nature. Natural nature. Doesn't naturally grow out the forehead, so I guess I ought not to hang there. Doesn't naturally grow down the neck. There's a natural growth. But if it naturally goes past that, then I guess that's not right. Doesn't naturally grow out the ears, though I've seen some men that do a good job in growing hair out the ears. My wife calls them old man hairs. I call them happy days. But you learn by things. Everybody has to make choices. God doesn't pick on women, and God don't pick on men. God said, I've got a book for everybody. Just like man has to make choices, women have to make choices. Just like you have to decide what choices you'll make and how far you'll go with God. Now, we're a church that will always preach the truth. And the Bible says this. The Bible says when you lift him up, he'll draw all men onto himself. You say, preacher, if you preach it that way, nobody will come. Having almost 800 this morning kind of proves that a little bit different. When you lift him up, he'll draw all men to himself. If you just happen to be standing there, they'll come your way too. It just depends on who you're lifting up. Just depends on who you're lifting up. Wouldn't it be good tonight if every daddy would grab his kids and his wife and hit an altar tonight and says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if all you women would give your husband permission to lead the house? There's only one head, there's not two. I wish you'd give him permission to be the man that God created him to be. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good tonight if all the ladies would say, here's what I want to do. I want to give God everything I can. Wouldn't it be good if you would consider doing that in your own life? It's not for the praise of man. Okay, I'm done. Here it is. I'm going to give you one last illustration. I'm going to roll it up. We're going home. Every man that has ever had an influence in my life is dead and gone. Now, that's sad for me. Carl Hatch is dead. He's gone. Roll off, dead and gone. Lee Robertson's dead and gone. Every man that's ever had a great influence in my life is dead. They're gone. Malone's gone. Robertson's gone. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I learned some things from those men. Now, I do preach beside people. For years, Brother Owens and I would travel a little bit and we'd preach together. Dr. Bob Gray Sr. and I would travel a little bit, we'd preach together. Carl Hatch and I would travel a little bit, preach together. But the ones that really had influence in my life are dead and gone. There's not a one of them left. Not a one of them. Now, may I say this, I learned some things from those men. One day, I'd hope it's not soon, I'll be 53 very soon. After 53, if I can count right, comes 54. If my arithmetic is correct, after that comes 55, and to me that seems mighty old. You're getting closer to 60. I don't like that. Are you listening to me? Then comes 70, 80, 90, 100, then the grave, sometime around that time, maybe before. One day somebody's going to walk past my casket, and I'm going to be lying in state. Don't rush it. But I'll be lying in state. Now you listen to me because I love you. I'd rather you walk past my casket and say, he didn't hold it back and he told me what was truth. Whether I liked it or I didn't like it, he put it out there. And I'll be able to stand before God complete. I'll be able to stand before God whole. Because I did what he said to do. You know, every man of God has to give an answer to God. Did you know that? I don't have to give an answer to man. I could care less what man thinks about me. Maybe because I'm old, maybe because I'm stubborn, but I could care less. I could care less if man agrees with me or not. I could care less if man wants to become my friend or become my enemy. I don't care. It don't matter to me. I've lived long enough and I've got enough backbone that I don't care. But I will tell you this. I do care what my Lord thinks. I do care about that. I will tell you this, I do care that I please him. And in so pleasing him with the people, God has allowed me the privilege to pastor. Can I tell you this? Let me help you. God knew you'd be sitting here tonight. God didn't lay this message on in my heart because I knew that you were coming. God knew you'd be here. It just so happened God put this message on my heart. Might it be for you? Might it be for you? I'm almost done. Let me ramble for just a moment. That's what old men do. I can tell you, you got a preacher that walks with God. I don't make a show of it. I don't grab my Bible and read it in front of somebody just so that somebody can see me reading my Bible. I could care less. I don't get on my knees in my office and pray many hours on end at different times for people that I love and people that I pastor and pastors that are having trouble around the nation. Just so somebody can peek through a window and say, oh, he's kneeling. I don't care anything about that. I don't care if I ever preach a big conference again. I don't care about that. Here's what I care about. If I get up in a pulpit somewhere, here or somewhere else, and I give what God says to give, whether somebody comes up and shakes my hand and says thank you or spits in my face, I'll go home happy. Because I did what God wanted me to do. Now, you may not agree with God tonight, but if God said it, that settles it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.